This is the Shape America podcast, hosted by Colin Brooks
and Matt Pomeroy, making 50 million strong by 2029. Welcome to the Shape America podcast. I'm your host, Matt Pomeroy, and thanks for tuning in to get this health and physical education professional development delivered right to your ears, wherever you are. Thank you again for tuning in. We appreciate that. And before the show starts, we just want to remind you, don't forget that if you want to ask us questions or give us any feedback, feel free to email us at podcast@shapeamerica.org. You can find Matt, Colin, and Stephanie on Twitter. So again, feel free to just give us a shout out on there or ask us any questions you want to there. We always enjoy hearing your thoughts. If you do like the show, we would really appreciate you going to iTunes or whatever other, podcast platforms that you utilize and just leave us a little rating and review. And again, it really helps others find this podcast. And again, don't forget to share this podcast with a friend. Encourage them to subscribe to it and learn with us. And again, don't forget, help us keep the conversation going on social media and again, on whatever platform you listen to with, some comments, some likes and some shares and just let everybody else know what's going on and that you really like it. So we really appreciate it. And here's a little more info on some great happenings within Shape America. 5 days of learning, over 300 sessions and 5,000 health and physical educators to network, collaborate and brainstorm with. Oh yes, we're talking about the one and only Shape America National Convention and Expo. This year will be held in Music City, Nashville, Tennessee, March 20th to 24th. Registration is now open. Shape America is lining up some phenomenal speakers to re-energize and help you think innovatively about how you engage students in your health and PE programs. Stephen Ritz, a renowned educator, will keynote Wednesday's general session. A top 10 finalist in the $1 million Global Teacher Prize improved his school's daily attendance record from 40 to a whopping 93% and inspires his audience to take their ideas and move toward action. Thursday, Olympic gold medalist Benita Fitzgerald Mosley will kick off the day keynoting the general session. The chief executive officer of Laureatus Sport for Good Foundation USA will share ways we can all use sport to improve health and education. Plus, win a free night in Nashville. Enter your name in the drawing before February 22nd and make sure you take advantage of early bird rates. The deadline for that is February 7th. Visit the convention website to look out for the final program schedule. Bookmark convention.shapeamerica.org and register today. Don't forget, there are some webinars and online courses that are on demand and anytime, anywhere at shapeamerica.org. Check out the professional development tab. Again, this online institute makes it easy for K-12 health and physical educators to earn and track professional development contact hours. All right, take advantage of self-paced, effective professional development on your timetable. Upcoming podcasts. We've really been working hard getting everything out to you really once a week. January, we got technology and health and PE. There'll be a part one and a part two. We've got an action-packed podcast with Ben Landers. He's doing some great things. And again, we've got some reflections coming up, just like this episode. February, we've got something special. More news coming soon, so just be on the lookout. Again, March, live convention podcasts and others. Again, now on to the show. Up next, a podcast on our December reflections, talking about holidays, talking about school, and talking about self-care. Over to our hosts. Hey, and welcome to the Shape America podcast. Happy holidays,
I'm Stephanie
everyone.
Sandino.
I'm Matt Pomeroy.
And I'm Colin Brooks. Welcome to the show, everyone.
Yeah, welcome back, everyone. It's been quite some time. Well, it's early December, nice to be back together. Almost feels like forever.
Yes, a lot has gone on since, I guess, the last time, you know, we got together, you know. Christmas and holidays and the end of the school year, or yeah, technically the end of the school year, you know, beginning of a new January and so forth. So, yeah, lots going on. How are you two doing?
Yeah, it's good. It's been a crazy busy month, and I feel like, you know, we haven't been able to touch base too much kind of in between, you know, some of these podcasts, but everybody's busy with other projects elsewhere and other family stuff going on and all that other stuff. But it'll be definitely good to just kind of sit down
and get caught up. Pretty busy with holiday plans, actually a lot busier than I thought I was going to be, but, you know, ending the trimester, so I ended with inputting grades and all that good stuff. So when we get back, we start off with a, you know, fresh new plate and get going again. But in between then and the end of school, it's been low key. It usually always is for me in Christmas and the new year, which is nice because I feel like we're always on the go. So it's nice to slow it down, as I've mentioned before, but with more reason, this time's a little bit a longer break. 2.5 weeks it's pretty nice, but it'll get you ready to get back into it towards the end of it.
Well, it's good to hear you got your grades done, and it kind of reminds me like, yeah, I've got a couple things left out there that maybe I could take care of and got the major stuff done, you know, kind of before I left, but good thoughts into taking care of UConn. Get all your grades done, get all your grades back.
Definitely school, like I talked about before, you know. Yes, I was pretty pumped. Got a 4.0, so I was excited about that.
Nice. Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice job.
Well, thanks. Then grading. Grading at the college level is time consuming. I mean, grading in general is time consuming. But yeah, going through student portfolios and so forth, you know, and person that the faculty I was working with was really nice to me and didn't like dump a ton of stuff on me. And it was still very time consuming in a learning process and took me days to go through these student portfolios and grade them, and you know, because you want to give everyone great feedback and so forth. But yeah, I'm happy to have a month off, but I've got one more week left after, you know, this, so that's been pretty nice and needed, to be honest. So it's flown by, but I'm doing good and enjoying thinking about, you know, other stuff besides school, like family and Christmas and so forth. So it's been great.
Right, like December is a pretty sweet month. I mean, it seems like our home calendar kind of like settled down a little bit, you know, not quite as many events on the calendar, but in the same sense, it seems like, you know, just getting ready for the holidays, like everything ramps up. So, so you feel like it's not quite as busy, but then yet, you know, like there's all those little details and everything else, you know, that happened just to get ready for the holidays, but it's a good month and everyone's always excited at school and you know, just all that stuff. So, yeah, definitely with us, it settled down, but, you know, that constant shopping, thinking what's next, how you're going to plan it, prepare for the holidays and, all that good stuff. But,
December,
anything else happened in December with you guys?
The kind of month where I do a lot of planning for the next year. So it's some thinking time as well as I get to rest up. I always do some thinking and I fit in a little bit of work as far as social media. So I don't completely stop dead in my tracks. I still keep the motor running a little bit, just because there are, you know, there's some stuff to do still. On the social media end with me and some other projects that I have. So I still fit in a little bit of work and a little bit of thinking time for the next year. And we'll get to this later, I'm sure, but it's always a month I get to plan all of my races for next year. So that's kind of exciting. I usually plan one race a month. So I also get to plan that. That's normally kind of exciting for me to see what races I want to do. And there's usually a good one that requires traveling. So it's fun.
Does sound like a good time, planning all those races, getting them on the calendar, and getting set up for the year ahead. All right, maybe let's, I think Stephanie's right. We'll talk about some of the holidays and some of the other things we're up to later on. Let's jump into school just a little bit here and just reflect, as this is a reflections podcast, reflect a little bit on December. Maybe talk a little bit how we've been taking care of ourselves as best we possibly can throughout the craziness. But
yeah,
I don't know, Colin. Had the shortest month of December at school.
yeah, like I said, it was just getting used to grading at the college level. That was an interesting thing and a good thing for me. I turn in these projects. I feel like I've had deeper understanding of how research works within our field. And that was pretty cool. That was kind of what this whole term is about. I mean, I jumped into these research classes and had essentially no idea what, the differences between research and so forth. And I feel like I was able to close it down and have a more confident understanding and the ability to maybe perhaps do it on my own and also feel pretty comfortable teaching, college level courses, some methods courses and so forth. So, that's a good feeling. Go ahead. I taught a curriculum course.
How many classes were you teaching, Colin?
Methods course. When I say taught, I was the TA for those. But did quite a bit, and I was in charge. I was the lab instructor. So, as we've talked about in the past, we went out in the field quite a bit and worked with students in the field, which was awesome, and what I want to continue to do. And I'm going to have the chance to be in elementary methods next term and help with that a lot, which is it's my wheelhouse. So I'm really pumped about that. So as far as like self-care and stuff goes, it was just really super awesome being with my family, spending time with them. And that was just, that's always the most important thing. And want to center everything around that. That's been super nice. And I also have been working out and I joined a CrossFit box gym, which, I've done since 2009. Last term is rough. Leaving that behind, and even though being a PhD student, don't have very much money, but able to figure a way out to do that, so I'm super pumped, and I feel like a more balanced human being right now, and I'm going to figure out how to incorporate that into my schedule when it gets really busy. So I'm super excited about that. So
it's crazy. Yeah,
that's about it from here.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, when did you?
Yeah, I started after the school year was over.
Schedule, or did you kind of start like after the school year was over?
I could do about, but basically, I'm not going to do about it. I feel like it's just a part of who I am is working out vigorously, and not having that in my life was very hard, like on a lot of stuff. So having just like taking this time to kind of reflect and be like, step out of school because it was very consuming, and a lot of it was because I wanted to be very successful. And now that I have been, I've learned, I'm like, okay, I can do this now. What are the things that I need to do better to take care of my family and myself? So I've got some gaps in my schedule, and a lot of those gaps that I had, I was like, I think a lot of PhD students go through this, like I have to work constantly so I can be successful. But a lot of that time was like me worrying about work instead of like being super successful. So, using that time wisely. So I think it would be better spent me, working out, taking care of myself, and we'll see what I can do. I mean, I'm going to be in there as much as I can, and it's an hour of my day. I mean, that's what we should be doing, spend an hour, take care of yourself and get back to family and school. So yeah, it's been good.
Well, Well, I think it's that reminder too that, it, you know, as you do work out, it does take away time, but it also does create more productivity. And, you know, it's something that we don't want to forget about. I know that sometimes that's a reason why people say, no, I don't want to do it, but yeah, it does equal
more productivity. I think it's going to help you for sure. Faster and,
you know, get other stuff done. So,
you know, I knew manage your stress a little bit better. It just helps in having just inputting it and sliding it into your schedule, no matter how tough it is. It's something that's really important, and I think it's going to even help you become even more successful. So I'm glad that you're taking the time to do that. And
yeah, it feels good. You're both exactly right. We always practice what we preach, but like it's interesting. Like in those most sounds kind of like maybe it's too big of a word, but like desperate. Like I was, you know, you just like, I was so consumed by school, just desperate to be, you know, to be successful. You just like abandon things even, you know, even that you know you need to do, which isn't good practice. So I'm glad I was able to, you know, spend a few weeks and just take a deep breath and be like, yeah, I should probably do different about those. So, but how about you two? You know, how's, you know, the school year ended up and, you know, how you've been taking care of yourself here to kind of recharge those batteries?
Oh, thank you. Well,
Stephanie, let's hear from you.
We ended off the school year kind of in a place where we had a lot going on. So we've had very little time in our base games unit. I think we had... We tried one day and it was super windy and then we had fires coming in. So that kind of threw off our plans. I tried for a period. I was trying a base game and my goodness, it was the biggest fail ever with the wind. So we had to take the kids inside. And then the following week, which is the week right before we got off, I was able to get one day of base games in. So right now, all six periods have that one day of base games. And I can't wait to get back because this is the unit that I'm going to be bringing in cricket. So when we get back, I'm going to start up some cricket lessons apart from, you know, big bat baseball, some modified baseball games. But towards the end, I kind of want to see how the students respond to it just because it's new. Definitely not something you see often in our area, but like the innovative factor that it brings in. When we did floor hockey again, that was something new for them. So cricket's going to be new, and I like the response that I got when it's something new. So I'm excited to see what cricket brings out in them, and I want to make it very exploratory towards the beginning and just make it simple and fun for them to slowly catch on to the game of cricket. And we might not get to everything just because we do have to move on to our next unit, but I'm excited to see how my students will respond to that. And I've been getting a lot of resources from Wayne Schultz and Andy Hare. So they've been posting some great stuff, and I initially started this whole thing when I was gifted the equipment from Andy Hare back in Capered. I know. Shout out to Andy Hare. He is a great physical educator with tons of generosity. So I was so appreciative when I got that gift from him. And he presented cricket there at Capered. So I got lots of resources. And since then, Wayne has been like on Twitter almost on a daily, just giving out so many resources because he's been over here at the USA Cricket. He's been kind of pushing that here at the US. So I'm excited to bring it in and start something new with my kids. I think it's going to be a good step. Last year I brought in spike ball. This year I want to try and bring in cricket. Go figure.
Yeah.
So
I think that's awesome. Like I think about just games that really even the playing field for students, you know, and exposing them to different cultures. And I can't Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, they need exposure to so many different activities and sport and so forth. And just having an opportunity to play an international sport and activity like cricket is great. So that's cool. I look forward to hearing about how it all goes.
Yeah, I'm a little...
And at that middle level too, just, you know, trying new things, keeping it fresh, can definitely keep them
definitely.
Keep them
I feel like our program can engage too.
So,
it can seem a little bit repetitive just because we teach both 7th and 8th grade. So, we have essentially the same units every year. And this being my second year, I've kind of seen that, and I feel like there should be some differences, because you do have the eighth graders who are then seventh graders, you know, essentially seeing the same sports again. So for me, bringing in new sports, like I brought in spikeball last year, that was new for them. Cricket this year is going to be completely new for my class. And just keep changing it just so that there is some variety, I guess I can say. So fingers crossed for that. And as far as self-care, I am continuing. This has probably been one of my most active years ever since I joined. Well, I shouldn't say most. It's up there, though. Ever since joining Orange Theory, I've been really consistent, just because they keep you consistent. As far as if you don't go in, they do charge you. And if you do cancel a class late, they do charge you. So there are some consequences and accountability at the gym, which is good for people that need it. And it's been keeping me consistent, you know. And like I mentioned before, I'm continuing on with my races a year or two. No, 2 years now. I started the whole adventure of a race per month, and I've continued that now for my second year, going on to my third year, and I think it's fun. I get to see, you know, different places, and get to see different people, and I get to run for different causes. And you know, next year Big Sur is on my list, which is exciting. On the coast here in California, towards the northern side, so I'm excited for that. It's a beautiful city, beautiful views, cliff sides, ocean waters. It's amazing. So I'm excited for some of the races coming up next year that I've already planned. I usually hold myself to one half marathon quota a year, because my knees are just bad when I do half marathons. Sometimes I get crazy and think about that full marathon, but once I think about my halves and how I feel in my halves, or at least my knees, it's pretty bad.
So have you thought about venturing into the world of triathlon, Stephanie?
It's been a thought. However, I'm not a very strong swimmer. I think I'd need to first get my swimming down. I'd be probably more leaning towards like poolside first, instead of throwing me in like deep, dark ocean water with people all around me possibly almost kicking me and, you know, flailing their arms.
So I have to say that every person I've ever talked to about triathlon, that's their biggest fear is swimming. I mean, poolside's a great place to start, and you can learn how to, you know, swim in that open water. And that transition for me was amazing, you know, and just getting on a bike too. It's a lot of fun. So definitely recommend that. And for you too, Mr. Pomeroy, you know, you guys are both awesome runners, and just spreading those wings a little bit.
I've been swimming in the pool at the Y, and I mean, it's like a constant drowning session. It's like I'm getting better and better, but it's like, you know, it's like a half mile to a mile, like of like slow, steady drowning. It's like, man, just getting that breathing down.
I'm not comfortable it's under tricky. The water either. That's where my physical literacy journey just, you know, fell off the boat or something. I mean, I had teachers that taught me swimming, and I had, you know, swimming for the summer. Like, I know enough to not drown, but I mean, that's where I just fell off my journey there. It's something happened. I don't know. I mean, yeah, slipping on, you know, on the deck and busting your head, that can do quite a toll. But I mean, I wasn't in the water, so I don't know what happened there. It's the same with dance. Somewhere along the line, someone lost me or didn't grab my attention.
So this is my challenge for your physical literacy tournament. Like, this is the month you schedule in all your races. Just put in one sprint try, and you'll be good to go. Borrow someone's bike, you know. It's an hour and a half of fun, and you'll be done. You'll be like, that wasn't too bad. Just see what happens, and we'll talk about it on the podcast. See how it goes.
I will admit, though, like, it does feel good to get out of the pool. Like, you know, just, it's tough, it's not easy, it's a challenge, but it has been fun just kind of, like, learning through that and going through that. And, like, it does. It feels good to get in, and it feels good to get out. And, like, it's, you know, that different upper body workout that I don't necessarily always get as a quote-unquote runner, you know. And so it's been nice kind of adding that to the repertoire. But I don't know. We'll see. If Stephanie's up for it, maybe maybe we'll have to talk about having a little podcast
triathlon
challenge here. Speaking of challenges, are you both signed up for the Twitter run at Shape Nashville?
I know Andy Ayers is
getting that
baby. The bib. Yeah. The bib's awesome. She's got two arms up in the air. Like, seen the bib. I just do it for the bib.
She must be in.
So, yeah, for those of us out there that don't know, so Andy, we've talked about Andy here a few times. Speaking of recharging your batteries, I just saw a picture of him floating in the ocean. And I was like, that looks nice, man.
It's a hard knock life.
So he lives in Australia, and he's presenting in Nashville, and he's organized this run for just a bunch of physical educators and health teachers to get together. So you don't have to be on Twitter or anything to get together. But if that interests you, come find us. In Shape Nashville, the first day you get there, and we'll figure it out, and it should be fun.
Yeah. So, and plus, you get to see a new city while you're running.
Sounds good.
Yeah. And if. Right. Building relationships, see new city. But what's his Twitter username? Mr. Hair for Zed, maybe? We gotta try to get some people connected to him. If you search Andy Hair, H-A-I-R, should pop up. You can always email us at podcast@shapeamerica.org. We'll get you connected, because we definitely want to have as many people there running as we possibly can.
Yes, sounds it like is they'll have a, at Mr.
They'll have a good setup, and I know there's already a good group there. Do you find
a
count?
Look him up or look us up, and we'll get that going. And like we said, we're, you know, health ed and physical education community is one big, awesome and kind community, and very inclusive. So if you're out there and you're going to Shape Nashville and you haven't connected with anyone, yeah, like I said, come find us. I mean, conferences are great, conventions are great, but they're even greater doing them with your colleagues, and we'd love to get to know you. So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you've just gone to Andy Hare's Twitter page, make sure you click follow. He's got a lot of good things going on. So, but yeah. So, you know, myself, I guess I'll kind of get started. You know, school's been good. We just finished a Mustang University class, and people probably aren't very familiar with that, but we are the Merton Mustangs. And a couple years back, I was on a part of the Teaching Integrated Learning Today community, TILT, and that was like one of the committees I was on, and we decided to try to start to offer like different forms of professional development. So we got rid of like at least one professional development day, and maybe one year it was two, but you could, teachers can teach like a Mustang U class, and they can get paid for that, which is kind of cool. And then people can take just different classes on what they want to learn about for their professional development, which is pretty awesome. And our district's been pretty nice too. You can take one class, it's a mandatory thing to make up for that one day of PD, or you can take multiple and get paid for extra classes. So it's kind of cool. But I took a class on Hacking Leadership, which is a book out there.
Yeah.
And it's a principal from Northwestern Wisconsin, and I forget the city, but
Okay.
He could be one of them. Tony's the other principal. And anyways, cool book. It's really more for administrators and things like that. But they're definitely, you know, ways that I made connections to, you know, how I communicate with families, how you make relationships with kids, you know, like how people can see what's going on in your classroom. Just a lot of great things. And again, a little bit more for administrators, but mainly it was, you know, teachers in the class, and it was cool. So that's Mustang U, but kind of a fun way for our school to do some professional develop and pick, nice. You know, pick up that's some cool. extra that's hours.
Yeah,
and,
I've read that.
Individualize ahead, it just a little bit more.
I was going to ask, was that for, yeah. is that just one day? Do you have like specific towards everybody's subject matters, or that's a really cool concept?
So each class is different. Some are all face-to-face and they might meet like 8 times after school, and some were like book studies. And so this one was a book study. We met for like, you know, 30, 45 minutes after school twice. And then we just reflected on chapters and kind of commented on people's Google Docs and stuff like that. So that was how that was ran. Some have been like through Google Hangouts at home, or so it kind of depends on the class, but anything is really an option, which was cool. So and then people kind of pick depending on their schedule and what works for them. And almost any class could be pitched. It's kind of all focused on like our educator effectiveness. So like PPGs, professional practice goals, and student learning outcomes. So there's been a lot of like literacy ones and you know, math instruction and
very
some
cool.
of those
things. And if you but, wanted to facilitate, you
but you
could.
Know, but obviously educators want to learn about that too. So yeah, it's, yeah, you just pitch it, and then, you know, you got to turn in like a syllabus that you'd want, and then it's got to be okayed by the district. And they had to have so many people sign up, you know, at least like 8 people within your class or whatever. So it's cool. And then it's a nice little payday if you decide to, you know, to teach a class. So that's been going on for, I think, 3 years now.
Nice.
So, yeah, good stuff.
I've read that book. But, my favorite part of that book
yeah, so
is like it talks about meetings and doing them differently, like not ever like essentially meeting in person, you know, or very rarely when you do make it more about a community right. type of a meeting as opposed to, oh, we have another faculty meeting. I think in education, just in general, it's like that's a struggle where we're at. Like meetings aren't very fun, like, and, you know, and they're not always like – we don't, it's just hard to figure out how to use them wisely, I guess. And there were some really innovative strategies in there, I thought. Just if leadership's on board, I think those things can happen. And, you know, who as an educator doesn't want more time? I can't think of any educators that are like, man, I've got too much time on my hands. When you hear a faculty meeting is canceled, you're like raising the hands up like, thank you, I have 20 to 30 more minutes to try to get my stuff done, you know. So anyways, if you're looking for a book to read, I definitely take a look at that and show it to your administrator, be like, right. Look at this, we could do without faculty meetings all the time. What do you think about this? You know, we can have them differently. So anyways, go ahead, Matt.
Right. No, it was a great read, and luckily it solidified a lot of stuff that our principal is doing, which is cool. And he's even flipping his meetings, and, you know, like, hey, look through this presentation before we come, and, you know, he'll kind of break them down into try to turn it into like a 5-minute meeting then, and have more celebrations, and, you know, do different things. So it's been cool. It's definitely worth a look for administrators or you know, anybody out there. But that was good. And then, yeah, PE was just really pretty busy through December. And, you know, we finished our jump rope routines. I think we talked about that a little bit last time. And I feel like I had to stay at home one of those days with a sick son. And my principal ended up being my sub for the final day of that routine. And he thought it was pretty cool. Yeah, yeah. I was going to be observed, you know, during one of those days, and it didn't work out. So he's like, well, that was even better than an observation. I got to see it firsthand and, you know, be a part of it. So it's kind of cool when he steps in and does that. Although I know he has other things he'd rather do, but substitutes are at a necessity right now. It's hard for a lot of districts to find subs, and especially when you've got to call in at 5:30 in the morning. But so we finished that up, and all the routines were recorded and shared with my principal there, which is awesome. And then kind of cranked out the gymnastics unit, and it always comes at the right time because you've got like holiday concerts and all that other stuff going on in the gym that requires setup. And I'm pretty lucky in the sense that I teach health and PE and my schedule is 100% flexible. So if I want to run a couple of days of health and then run a couple of, you know, kind of flip-flop days, that works out for me. And so I really feel like I didn't miss any time in the gym and any activities. But I love our gymnastics unit. It's the one unit where you like literally have to kick students out of the gym. It's like, it is time to go. The bell just rang. Like, get out of here. You know, they want to be there. They want to do that, you know, and it's that cool unit of some risks. And I give them a lot of self-exploration, and all the level skills from level 1 to 3 are on Google Drive, and they just have different folders. And basically, they just kind of work through their level sheets on their own, which is neat. And they don't need me for too much. You know, they can just kind of play that video and see what that skill looks like and just kind of watch that. And it's pretty cool. And then I just get to see them test out for a couple of routines to show me that they're good to go to the next level. And I don't know. It's always just a ton of fun. So
that's
it's
awesome.
A good way to finish up the
2017 PE, you know, obviously the students really enjoy it. And I think that goes, you know, like Steph, you were talking about your unit. It's non-traditional, and it's cool to hear you both, you know, developing student independence. And they obviously have gravitated towards that too. So that was really cool to hear about, you know, how they want to be independent and they don't want to leave. That's exactly what you want. So way to go, man. That's awesome.
Right. You know, and there are some where it's like, all right, well, I got to motivate you, or, you know, why aren't you making progress? And you got to look at some of those things. And, but you know, those little one-on-one conversations when you can sit down next to someone and, you know, figure out where their struggles are, like, those are kind of cool. And like, hey, how can I help you? You know, and like, what can we do? And, so it's a little bit of that double-edged sword. Like, you need to give them that alone time and that time to explore. And then in the same sense, like how do I keep helping you, you know, and how do we keep moving forward as well? But so always good times in the gym. And then just some stress management stuff, a great skills-based unit in health. And I think it's just one of the most important things that we can possibly focus on. Really just in education, just getting them to understand those coping skills and, you know, those stress relievers that are out there. And we spend a lot of time just looking at what their stressors are and talking about those, and it kind of got them in groups brainstorming about that stuff. And it's always really interesting from my perspective just to hear what they have to say. And then we looked at, you know, a lot of the stress relievers that they can do and tried to put them in situations where they're trying to figure out that best stress reliever for the best stressor situation. And then got to finish off with, kind of created this menu of like 10 different options of things that they could do for a little bit of a project. And again, love giving them those options to say, hey, this is what I learned, and this is what I feel like is most important, and this is how I'm going to apply it to my life, and things like that. So it's always a fun finish to the school year. And we had a little bit of a stress relief party at the last day before the end of the year. So got to kick back and relax and hang out.
You're talking about stress relief for your students. Great units. Talk about a little bit self-care for yourself there, man. What are you doing for yourself over this break here?
Well, you know, it's kind of similar things. Like, just during that school year, I stuck with, you know, like when there are some issues and I just need to sit down and kind of talk with my wife and, you know, just kind of make sure we can talk it out like that way. So that's been clearly like really, really big for me. Making sure I'm getting enough sleep. I feel like sometimes that's one of the toughest things to do. Like, make sure we're going to bed on time. I'm usually ready, but like getting my wife ready as well. Like that's been huge with me. And then I think, again, I know Colin, like you talked about it too, like just being present with my kids. So sitting down and finding that time after school to just hang out and talk with them and see how things are going and sit down and play with them a little bit and just put my phone, you know, away and somewhere else and just kind of be there with them. And really just, you know, I love music and listening to that too, and podcasts as well. So, you know, some of the same things, but good thing, you know, it's those go-to things, you know, that I keep working.
Good deal, man. That's awesome.
You know, I can continue to stay focused on. So last couple of weeks, no running though. I've been sick. So it's changed in the sense, but just kick back and relax as much as I possibly can, you know, right now.
Yeah, but yeah,
typical fall and coughing fall and winter stuff.
Yeah, at least you're listening
not,
to
not really
body.
Enjoying that.
Taking that time off, that's also important too, because some people try and push through it and either make things worse or possibly make things better. But I've made some not so smart decisions when I'm sick, and it turned out to be for the worse. So I tend to listen to my body now. So it's good that you're doing that and taking the time to, you know, slow down and relax.
Right. And I could kind of feel it coming. And that was when I was like, all right, I'm going to shut it down and make sure I'm good. And I thought it would help me recover faster, but still been battling for for quite some time. Y'all missed that wonderful podcast.
That's right. Your voice is sounding a little bit better these days.
It's
a
year for that, though.
I don't know if you call it better. Like, it's not as raspy. So I like that, you know, that the raspy, worn out Pomeroy podcast voice. It's good stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Well, good.
I've tried to be a little bit smarter about all that too. So, it's the holiday season here. We're right in the middle of, you know, the Christmas season and New Year's. And, I don't know. I honestly don't know too much about what you guys have been up to. So, Stephanie,
spending the holidays.
How you guys spending the holidays?
In family.
What are you up to?
In town. Is nice. And I think for us, it's a normal thing. We hardly ever go out of town unless the circumstances ask us to. But like, I always divvy up my family. Like, I go to my dad's and spend Christmas Eve and then go back to my mom's, or, you know, sometimes we'll all go. It just depends what's going on with everyone and where everyone's at, their locations and, you know, different situations maybe. But this year it happened so that everybody was celebrating at my dad's side of the family. New Year's is going to be with us. And normally for New Year's, we don't really have a tradition. It's never been like, we always go here. It's always different. Sometimes we go to the movies. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we, you know, go to, you know, Disneyland. Sometimes we don't. I usually try and make something active out of it. Like, it's normally my time to get out with the family. Like, if we go for a nice little hike, that's where I'm happy. And I try and do that and try and instill some good, healthy values within my family and say, hey, you know, let's go out. So, you know, it's the 31st or it's the 1st. Let's do something. Let's move. So this year, on Sunday, I'm going to take hopefully she hasn't responded to my text yet. I'm already assuming she's going to say yes. I'm going to go take her out hiking. I'm going to take my aunt out hiking because she asked, you know, if I'm ever out hiking, let her know. So I'm going to take her hiking. And I think my brother said yes. So it might be a family affair.
Nice.
But it's always changing for us. Nothing's ever set in stone for this holiday. It's just, we go with the flow. It's kind of nice because we don't really have like set plans that we have to spend months and months organizing or, you know, the whole family's coming over. Yay. We got to do all this cooking. It's always pretty chill for us. We're easygoing and we go with the flow. So it's not like, I know for some people it could be a really big stressor, the holidays, because family's over and, you know, the cooking's got to get done. The presents got to get wrapped and they've got a trillion stuff on their to-do list. It's nice in the sense that we're pretty low key. So
Stephanie, is your whole family in SoCal?
No, we're, I mean, our, my immediate family is here.
Stephanie, is your whole family in SoCal?
For the most part, we're kind of spread out. I have some in Texas and Pennsylvania for the most part. That's where our kind of second immediate family is. So everybody's here in the U.S. as far as our immediate family, and then it starts spreading towards Mexico and Nicaragua. So. I mean, I see some of the posts on Twitter, and what you guys tell me, or you, Matt, what you tell me from Wisconsin, and I'm like, I think I'll stay here in my 79-degree weather and just enjoy life.
Yeah, we wanted to go some snow tubing. I think that was Wednesday, and it was... Was it 5 below? The windshield was like 20,
I mean, the fetal position in the corner.
Well, we could do it, but, you know, who knows what will happen to our face.
Here in Colorado, it was 0 2 nights ago, so it's pretty chilly, you know. So I definitely, the warm weather's nice. It's cool to be able to go out in December and do all the things you want.
Yeah, I can't complain. You can definitely go to the beach and the mountains on the same day and not have a problem with either one.
That's awesome. Cool. Indeed, we did. Yeah.
Well, Colin, did you guys have a white Christmas?
Picking up some echo here, guys.
I think. Yeah, me too. I'm not quite sure why.
Trust me, what I'm saying is
just
not
because gonna, everything that we say needs to be heard twice.
But anyways, so we definitely had a white Christmas, and I went to Oregon, or as my Midwest friends like to say, Oregon, and got to see some family. It was good to be back in, I don't know if it's called my home state, but the state I've been in for the last 16 years before I moved here, and see fam, and I've been, just been back here hanging out with the kids and my wife, and getting ready to go to Southern Colorado here tonight and enjoy the mountains and get some rest for the new year here. My New Year's plans are pretty low-key these days. It's kind of the way I prefer. But yeah, man, it's been awesome just being around, like I said, the family. I think that's the most important thing here over the holidays, and enjoying Christmas morning with my kiddos. They're like the prime magical age. Yeah. Spent my daughter's almost 4. She turned 4 in a couple weeks.
Yeah,
and
you
she
said
was,
they
like,
were pretty excited.
It was just like everything. It's like she's so, yeah, she's into the magic of Christmas and all that stuff. So it was fun to watch her be so pumped about stuff. And then my son, who's 1.5, he's getting out, opening his presents. It was funny because we'd open them up and like the toy packaging is not very fun. Like, so we'd open up the package, like under the, do the wrapping paper, and he'd be so frustrated. He'd like try to get it open, and he'd, it was funny to watch. So yeah, but once he got his hands on the,
well, it gets better, man. Ours at 8 and 10 is like, while the next kid was unwrapping, they already had the present out of their, you know, out of the box, and the box already broken down.
Streamline it.
It'll change soon enough. They just rip into it.
But yeah,
it
was, it's been
like,
awesome. All right. I feel like it was just a great, you know, perfect timing. And I feel rested and trying to wrap my head around that I have to do what I did all over again. But yeah, but I think I've learned a lot about myself this last term, and I think I'll handle it even hopefully better. So how about you, Matt?
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, then when you're done with the next term, man, and then it's summer break. So
yeah. Yeah.
It's always something to look forward to. Yeah, things are well. Like I said, just probably the toughest part about this break is like Tuesday before break started, you know, started getting down with that illness and kind of been battling through that. But, you know, nothing like crazy bad, but just haven't slept so well and those types of things. But there's just no time like the holidays, you know, like with a couple of younger kids, 8 and 10, like they just absolutely love it. You know, they eat up every moment of it. Like they just get so excited about it all. You know, so just to be around them and to be sharing that time with them is just unbelievable. And, you know, so luckily we can just stick around here. So we've really just been at home and kind of been relaxing. My sister's close. She's like 15 minutes away. So they came over on Christmas Eve and we just had a little gathering there and went to, did, you know, a nice little church service for Christmas Eve, a little candlelight service, and had a good time with that. And then again, just kind of, our kids didn't even come in waking us up, but just, you know, kind of woke up on Christmas Day and we were just here. And the kids actually waited till I woke up, which was like 6:45. I thought they'd be in at like 5:30 in the morning, you know, shaking the bed and waking us up. Jasmine had a checklist of everything she needed to do. And, you know, on Christmas morning, which was hilarious, like wake up early, peek in my stocking, wake mom and dad up. And like, so she kind of gave us some time, but yeah, so just kind of hung around here and then went to my wife's, you know, parents' house in Waukesha. So it's about 15 minutes away. And so it was like a second Christmas morning in the afternoon there. And now we're just trying to find a place where to put all the Christmas presents and hide that stuff away and do all that. But yeah, thoroughly enjoyed it. And now just kind of, again, just trying to hang out. Built a train table with my son. He's huge into like HO trains and all that other stuff. So we built that over the last couple of days and kind of hanging out with him and just playing with my daughter as much as possible and getting ready for New Year's now. We usually have a little bit of a New Year's Eve gathering, just, you know, some family friends and I think like 4 or 5 groups will be coming here. So a lot of kids run around like Nerf wars and all those things around the house. And again, just letting kids be kids and adults gathering together and enjoying each other. And that's the plans. Maybe watch a little bit of football. The Vikings are real close. They're in the playoffs.
Yeah, they're having a good year.
I finally have something to care about. Sweet. Here in December and January. So that's it. Love and life. But yeah, just like you say, relaxing and trying to forget about everything else and awesome. Starting to get back into that.
Yeah, and I think all it's right, definitely a good time for everyone to reflect.
I'm ready, though.
Like, I had the opportunity to do a webinar a couple of weeks ago on classroom management, you know, and just not that we want to think too much about the school year, starting again, but just, you know, it's doing a little itty bitty things about how to kind of prepare ourselves mentally and make a few changes about how we could be better teachers. So, and it looks
there you go.
Looks like Matt.
Oh, sweet, I hear tools for sweet. Teaching is awesome.
That's awesome.
I just got myself a couple classroom management books. Yeah. Yeah. Like,
no way.
Yeah, that was at the local library. So, you know, I just kind of went online and got a couple of books shipped over to the library. I bought a few, you know, like, I guess I've always felt like PE, you know, PE was my strong suit and health was, you know, it was a fun class to teach, but I'm not in the classroom very much. So really the focus for that is, I'll talk about it probably more in January, but you know, just honing in on some of those classroom management skills just in the health classroom. But you're right. You're right. It's like constant improvement, reminders
it is, and
for
it's
myself
like it's
and
such
for the students.
A
and,
beginning point for so
good
many
thing
people.
To think
I
about
mean,
right
that's
now.
That's why so many people go start working out in January 1st, like, the, you know, the New Year's resolution things. But that the thinking, the idea behind it is how do we transfer those short-term goals into long-term and keep them going. And I think that like your students are ready, either they're starting a new term or they're just ready for a little bit of change. They're more accepting of it, you know? So it's a great time to start doing some new and different routines to help, you know, with their learning. So, but don't think about it too much, but just those small things, you know, that you can do, you know, before you get going, back in the classroom. So, yeah.
Yeah. Always.
Right. Good time, good thoughts. Did your webinar go well?
Sorry. I mean, yeah, it was a lot of fun. And yeah, I had the chance to do
Colin, did your webinar go well?
Fun. And it was a blast. It was a different webinar format that I've used before. But just talking about classroom management and just something that I believe is the most important thing as a health or physical educator is the classroom management, because learning cannot occur without, you know, quality and effective classroom management. So that was fun to talk about that.
Right.
I'm always nerding out on classroom management. So I enjoyed having the opportunity to do that for sure. So it's free. If anyone wants to check it out, you can just go to their website and or just Google Gopher Webinars. I think you can find it there. So yeah.
Yeah, oh. Definitely.
We'll see. Well, you got to listen to it first before you say that.
They got the right guy to do it. So.
Well, right on. It's good to catch up with you both.
Trust me, man. I've heard you talking.
Yeah, same.
See what's going down in your lives. Yep. And like we said, everyone,
yeah,
we hope
to catch
that
up with you too as well.
It's an opportunity for you to think and reflect about, you know, what you're doing. And I hope that listening to us blabber on is helpful. And, you know, just gets you to start thinking about that self-care, especially, you know, right now over the break and as you get started here again with your next term or just back into school, and just thinking about the changes you can make, you know, within your classroom, but just personally to help yourself. And we all know that we got to help ourselves. We're going to help others. So, yeah.
And hey, they're just kind of closing off too. There's a really cool phys ed thanks kind of going around on Twitter and social media. And, you know, if you didn't get a chance to maybe give a shout out to who you're thankful for and things like that too.
Yeah,
like,
Steph, I think you started, you were one of the
hashtag.
Founders of that, right? Can you tell us a little
right
about
that?
That
right? phys ed
funny thanks? Story, actually. Matt Bassett and I were in a thread conversation with all of the EPW committee members at Elementary Physical Education Workshop. And one of the co-directors this year was mentioning something about tagging, and I couldn't tag one of our members because she wasn't allowed to be tagged on Twitter. So then we started this tag war, and then my co-director was like, oh yeah, 50 million strong, let's keep it going, hashtag, you know, I forget what it was. And then Matt's like, oh, that'd be a great idea to get a phys ed thanks thing going on. So Matt Bassett, if you know him, he'll make a graphic like 10 times faster than I will. So as I was making mine, he had already DM'd me, hey, look, I already got this graphic, I'm gonna get it going in like 2 seconds here. I'm like, okay, go for it. So he shot it out, and it kind of blew up. I was on retweeting duty on EPW, and it was just like an amazing thread of phys ed thanks by so many people, and it just spread. It's just basically, you know, find 5 people in your PLN to thank or to be thankful for, and, you know, attach this picture to it, and let's keep this going. So essentially kind of like an email thread that you would normally get, or one of those Facebook threads, except we started it on Twitter, and it just kind of, it was kind of cool because, I mean, it's a busy time of the year, so we weren't expecting much, and, you know, people are usually putting their phones down at this time, but it was awesome to see the community get together and really be thankful for, you know, each member of their PLN, and if it was more than 5, great. If it was, you know, a general post, that's great. But it was cool to see everybody stop and be thankful for, you know, a couple of people or a group of people in their lives in the phys ed community. So I thought it was awesome. And I'm going to give credit to Francis, our co-director, and Matt Bassett, because that was just one idea that was fantastic.
Nice, yeah.
It is cool. So if you didn't get a chance to, you know, give your thanks, take a look at that hashtag. You know, you can kind of keep it rolling here. And it's good thought process, you know, coming into 2018, just to be thankful for what's happened in the past year and people that we've been connected with, you know,
definitely
in our professional learning network. And
if I may
a big
say
shout out,
there's going to be a calendar coming out.
Just enjoy it.
Well, it's already out, but There's going to be daily posts about it for HPEC. It's the Effective Instruction Calendar, which is going to be pretty good to focus in on a couple of different things every day in January. For every day, there's going to be like a challenge or a task to do, such as, you know, get to know a student that you don't really know that well and spend a couple minutes to talk to him or her, or focus on different strategies to make groups, or read an article about collaborative learning. So it's a bunch of different challenges, and it's going to be awesome to kind of start off the year and think back on a couple of things that maybe we've left or should do or should start doing, and just a couple of brain, you know, kind of get your brain going for a little bit as you get out of vacation mode and into school mode again. So it should be good.
Awesome.
Nice. Great things to look out for. Yeah. So
yeah, the hash.
Boy, that HPEC group doing quite a bit. Staying busy. All right. Well, I suppose we're going to be back in January. So we'll take this conversation and kind of continue it on at that point in time as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, it's great.
And
it's good to hear how you're
really
both
cool
doing.
Reflecting
and,
with you guys.
Everyone's having a great holiday break here, and enjoy the rest of your break with your friends and family here.
Yeah, you as well. Happy New Year.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. Definitely. Happy New Year, and we'll talk to everybody real soon.
Happy trails.
For the Shape America podcast, we're signing off. Happy teaching.